Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about scientific scams in psychology. There's been quite a few. I've just read one about where this person booked himself and, in quotes, eight other people, anonymous people, as pseudo patients who were sane, but were treated as insane by the psychiatric institutions, thereby tainting, this is in the, I suppose, 50s, thereby tainting the entire process of institutionalization by saying that it was actually just creating or imagining that treating psychiatric illnesses was in fact itself a form of psychiatric illness, and it basically wound up the process, destroyed the process, this study. And this is a scam process, and I've read this in a New Scientist, and unfortunately I can't really remember the names. I can remember the female author. I looked at the author of this article, who has been slaving away, and you can see her methodical method, and there's sort of this idea I have of the people who are really good at science don't know how to actually surf and play it around, so it all reflects on them. They're the central point, the central personality of science. Of course, science is really a personalityless thing. Very rare that you have a personality which really makes or breaks a science. And all too often, the fact that there is a personality there is actually a sign of scamness, and the fact that the person studying it gets no, or unveiling the scam, has no presence or no fame, is really in the other aspect of the same coin. So I'll try and talk about this particular scam. And before I do, the last podcast I had, it was absolutely storming with rain. I was in a little schoolyard. I think I did the periodic table and a bit about the carbon molecule. That's something I really am interested in. I really didn't get into the critical quantum mechanics, which really makes it all dance. But getting back into this, I've got roughly half an hour. I won't take that long to actually go through scams. I'm just waiting to pick my wife up after an appointment to do it. So I've got a little bit of time. It's not worth going home and doing anything. So let's really zoom in on the scam. So this person said they checked in two psychologists, psychiatrists, and said they had a script of three words that they said that they heard, and the words were emptiness, void, and nothingness. These words were said into my head over and over again, and if you're going up to a psychiatrist, and what happened is the sequence was that the psychiatrist duly booked them into a psychiatric institution. And they were institutionalized for a week to 4 weeks and fed heaps and heaps of drugs, and the number of drugs were counted. And this occurred for all eight patients who did this. So it was inescapable that these eight separate people went to eight separate psychologists, and this provided damning evidence that this system was just out of control, that they would interpret everything and it would just go in one direction. And this person is very famous, wrote a famous paper in Nature. It was sort of an icon paper. So there's several icon papers. The Milgram's conformity experiment. There's another experiment about conformity. Conformity experiment. I really have got to get that out of my head. I wish I could. Oh, but seeing it is such a brilliant thing, and not the conformity experiment at Stanford University, where this person would come in and there'd be other nine actors there and they'd be shown something and his answer would eventually conform with the wrong answer. forgotten what it's called. Oh, she was... Gee, you can see your brain sort of just fading there. But as it's come to pass, people have found that these studies are very poor initial studies, and that they misreport themselves, they're unethical, and a few things like this. And of course it's a bit unethical to put yourself in a psychiatric hospital. So this person began trying to track up the missing necessary data that you would have to have nowadays of these eight people. And she had access to this person died, the investigator who sent the eight people into hospital. The investigator died and wrote a book, and in the book on the margin in pencil was written one name, which she was able to track down to someone who was a student of his at some sort of American university. And indeed, he was one of the ones, and he was one of the ones in the study. And he said that he had actually a positive experience being booked in, and that he saw a lot of compassion. And he was actually removed from the study. So it was, I think, 9, and it was reduced to 8, and he's removed. But the notes were that the figures were there, and when he was removed from the study, the number of drugs taken by everyone, the hours didn't change. So his impact on the data had no effect, which is sort of the implication by implication that there is no effect. And of course, the actual author was one of the people. So there was seven people. There were 8 recruits. That's 9. But then one of them was reduced. So it's him plus 7 is 8. 8 in the study. Okay, 8 in the study. And so one was removed, and it didn't have an effect on the data. I'll sort of go back into this where you question things, and I suppose I have a question, because I've been in this situation where you've uncovered a scam, unwittingly uncovered a scam, trying to make sense. How does it make sense? But this, and you know, I do have a conjecture to put on the top of this. So she's discovered one, and from that one, interviewing the one, she found another person. She found the other person's scam and did get some information to it. But their data meant that the other 7 people would be way off. Then notes came across other notes that he said his brief, which he didn't disclose, is he said, look, I've got suicidal thoughts. Now, once you say you've got suicidal thoughts, you go into a new ethical category where not to act, to take a non-conservative view of acting, not to hospitalise, becomes an ethical issue. So there's this, and this other person's, and he said that he put copper plates over his ears, and this, at the time, in the 50s, there was the tin foil effect, that often people would put foil over their ears to stop the sounds coming in, electromagnetic radiation coming in. I don't know how that came across, but you often get these things where you get studies, you know, things progress along various lines. And so basically, it was being a psychologist, a psychiatrist himself, he knew the basic key code to press with psychiatrists to force them to take a set of preventative action. One is to say that, well, I'm going to commit suicide, and also I put tinfoil over my ears. But this isn't getting to the main paper. This is this person researching. And at the end of it, she found that in all probability, the balance of evidence given... I don't know why you'd have to be so forgiving. One assumption would be that this person made up the other seven people, just invented the other seven people for his study. Which, you know, goes to the fact that if someone... And so there's this thing about how you go... Now, the person's dead, you can't confront them, but you can imagine that if someone is... Essentially, this is criminal. Yeah, essentially, it's like breaking into a house and just and stealing their food and stuff. You've benefited by deception. It is a fraud, and you can imagine that in the case of the process, the damage. There's sort of one set of damage is that the psychology and response and anti-establishment led to deinstitutionalization of different of it, which led to a whole lot of people going in prisons. And I think they said back in the day, 5%, and it simply went that we now imprison an extra 15% of the prison population there. And this is, like, it's enormously... I think it's more expensive to incarcerate someone than to put them in a psychiatric facility, I suppose, would be my my thing. That's an interesting aspect. It's interesting that psychiatric facilities back then are very much bed-oriented. It's a hospital orientation. And I sort of... Yeah, there's stuff like that. And that they go into prisons or homelessness if you just destroy it. So say let's say 25% of the people in psychiatric hospitals at worst case were there due to a system built up which is poorly tuned. It went over the top, and then what you've done is that you've halved the capacity, and you may still have, say, 10% of your population. You've now got reduced to 50. You've improved that figure down there, but you now have a huge number of people who are not treating it as well. So there's a damage there. But there's also a damage in that this person is purporting to have integrity and having a position, and if anyone's to challenge him, I would think that this is a big scam, the lie is got on top of this person. It's like if a student came up and said, look, hey, what are you doing? This person would be very unstable. This person would not be going, oh, yes, I see that... I sort of was doing something wrong. I sort of knew about it, but now that you, as a small, insignificant student, which I could easily brush aside, have pointed this out, I will now fold up everything and run away, rather than actually, you can imagine this person being a very aggressive, horrible, horrible person. Now, in terms of scams, I've come across a few. I must admit, I've never come across in science a scientific scam where someone has actually faked their data. Possibly a Russian scientist. It's probably the worst I've seen is a Russian scientist try to spike his competitor's equipment. That's probably the worst I've seen. But in education, it's a different story. So we've closed it off, and I suppose we also want to talk about the other. This is one study, but there's multiple studies. There's Milgram's experiment, where he got people in, and these people would believe... The story was that they believed a scientist in a white coat was teaching them to torture another person. And interviewing the people, and he got amazed... Look, you've got a spectrum of things. There's the conformity, there's Milgram's... coercion experiment. I've forgotten what it's called. I just really want to do it. There's a bystander effect. There's a whole series of experiments. But these experiments are critical. Now, the critical thing for the these experiments is the authenticity of the response, the authenticity of these people. And here it's inauthentic. This is the Milgram one, because the actual people going in as subjects picked up subtle clues that it was all a scam. And so when they really didn't believe that the person was a real scientist or the person wasn't suffering, they immediately just turned up the voltage on this poor person to teach to learn until they eventually died. And it's classic sort of Twilight Zone territory, but it's not a question of scientific results that you can report. Say if your thermometer is off, you're reporting something, the whole thing gets junked. You can't salvage a scientific thing, and so you can't reverse salvage it. And this is the conformity stuff, and it's sort of this very topical issue. It's almost vacuumed in. People are saying, why Hitler, why Pol Pot, or how could these horrible people, how could this happen? Oh, this experiment fits the narrative. Now, it fits the narrative because I think the narrative was calling it up. You know, there was a narrative. This is outputting the same. So you imagine the 70s or these people. These people would have these very modernistic views, and the idea that you could fortunately put it through. Now, the Milgram one, I think there's a certain element of naivety, whereas this one with the actual, the sane being treated as insane, or it's been such a woolly thing, that's something that people really want to cope with. So you've got all these degrees. Now, what I want to do is go back and talk about education. Now, there's a few times where I suppose I was told, you know, we've got all these records about here's all the, we've now got all the year 7 and year 8 records, you know, put up. This person is such and such, you can read the records about it, and you should read it every class, and of course, before every class. Now, of course, not every teacher did that. They just saw it was there, and it was flagged, and they wouldn't go through. But what I did was I actually went through and actually read the records, and a lot of these records were blank. No, and that someone has come across, oh, I need some more records, I'll put in some markers, and they came back and put in the actual information. And then which is understandable, but the actual people said, look, here we're meeting for hours on these committees, and we're ensuring it, and we're enforcing it, and we've read it, and we've acted on it. And you've gone in and you said, hang on, this is not here. And so I can't quite describe it. You have to be, these are electronic records, the electronic rolls. People come up with a symbol next to them. You can click on that symbol and get the background information, and then not necessarily the background information, you then go to other files to read a bit more about it, get an idea about it. And you realise that the actual people doing this, it's actually beyond their intellectual capacity to work out the subtleties of how you should manage this. They've got the form, and they're not actually, because they can't do it, they've actually got the form actually projected, and they have the aggression and the affront to make you feel. It's sort of like people being fake security guards at a bank heist, and you say, oh, Is there a problem there? No, it's all under code, and all the time the money is going out of the place. That's a small one, it's a bit hard to describe. Then you look at sort of the data lists of, say, the number of diabetic kids, the number of aphylactic kids per year. And so it'll be 4-4-0-0-4. And 0-0 is when these people have come in and managed those particular years. And this is one example. So statistically, you're getting something highly unlikely, hard to go. So you know that these records, which are legally required, and that if you don't, if something goes wrong, you've got the records there, and the teacher will get it. So it's typed like that. So you know to do it, and so you know that the records that you have given are no longer any good. And so this occasion where I've had the Van de Graaff generator out in front of the class, and I've said, does anyone here have a heart operation or a pacemaker? Hand goes up, it's me. And you go down to your records, there is nothing there. And then you say, oh, well, back. And but you wouldn't do that if you had believed your... So you can imagine that's quite a dangerous situation. Then you go along and you say, to the person, yeah, to the thing, do you realise this record isn't up to thing? You don't think there's a scam going on? This record's off the thing. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, well, the parents aren't cooperating with us because we would have asked and we would have done this. Then you go to kids. Yes, parents have told the school. It's not there. And then thing is that, well, there's nothing we can do except, I suppose, tell the people that this is not, we're not doing our job, and you can't really do it. And so it's, as you're going along, it becomes heavier and heavier and heavier, and of course people who are running the scams, you become more and more a liability. Then coming along, you get notes or documents from them, and they don't add up. The fonts have changed at various points in time, as you do. I should say so that I was not that this was trained, but as an intelligence, I suppose NCO sergeant, whatever it is, helping them, you'd be looking, and you'd be. It wouldn't be font, it would be the lengths of radio calls or the things that you'd be listening to. So you should be used to listening at. Now I would, when I get information from students, I wouldn't tell them, but I would check the metadata of all the pictures and stuff like that. So they said, I took this picture, blah, 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 with my camera, blah, blah, blah. And you go, oh, right, well. Well, you wouldn't say, look, I am checking all the metadata. You just go there, you might open up the metadata on some photographs, because they wouldn't cleanse the metadata, kids, when they're giving it to you. But they wouldn't cleanse the metadata from it, or you'd see, I'm late handing in this assignment, but then you check the metadata, and they last worked on it 10 days ago. So that what happened is something happened. Yeah. But again, when you get documents in, you check the metadata and you say, oh, this is a record from 3 months ago, but it's been edited in the last couple of hours going through here and by this person. Then you check and you get the scale of the document is, you know, it's maybe, I don't know, small, not maybe 97 kilobits, but this is a Word document, but when initially it was in, 7 months ago, it was 137. So something has been cut off and edited and pushed, and you don't know. So you've got all these things coming around, and it's the fact the people are, once they've crossed over and they're in mid whatever it is, mid fraud, it's something very hard to pick up when you're in that sort of scientific investigation mode. Well, I have done my
dash now, and I've managed to speak for 24 minutes, which is pretty amazing. Thanks a lot for listening, and yeah, that's Scientific Scamps. I hope it connects to you, because most likely, if you live in the human race, you'll be up against people who are scamming themselves into a royal family or scamming themselves famous. Very few people are just naturally famous. That's my view. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.